Welcome to all. In today's Daf Yomi Mishnah, we're going to learn Maseches Chulin, Perek Zayin Mishnah Aleph, all the way through Perek Tes Mishnah Aleph. Now, this parak we're going to be discussing the Isra of Gid Hanoshe. We know that Yaakov Avinu crossed the river to go get the Pachim Ketanim, the small jugs, and he encountered the Malach of Esav over there. They got into a whole fight, which lasted the entire night. Yaakov was winning. The Malach of Esav couldn't do anything. The only thing he was able to accomplish was by hitting him on the hip. That's usually what we say. And he turned Yaakov into a Tzoylea Al Yurechai. He was limping after he finished the fight. And the pasuk tells us as follows, Al Kain Lo Yoichlu B'nei Yisrael's Gid Hanoshe. Therefore, B'nei Yisrael, do not eat from the Gid Hanoshe, Asher Al Kaf HaYarech, which is on the Kaf HaYarech. We'll explain this. Kindog B'Kaf Yarech Yaakov B'Gid Hanoshe, because that's where the Malach touched. He hit the Kaf Yarech of Yaakov. That's the Gid Hanoshe. And so, therefore, we don't eat this on an animal. Now, translated literally, Gid Hanoshe means the Gid, the sinew that was Noshe. It was moved, it was displaced. And where is it located, says the Pasuk? Al Kaf HaYarech, on the spoon of the thigh. Now, what does that mean, spoon of the thigh? So, the thigh bone is actually kind of shaped like a spoon. It's curved, and the flesh sitting on it is curved as well. And so, in other words, the pasuk is telling us that on an animal, we are not allowed to eat the Gid HaNoshe, which is by the Kaf HaYarech. So, here's the Mishnah lays the ground rules. Mishnah Aleph tells us, Gid HaNoshe, Noig Barz B'Chutz La'aretz. This Isra of eating the Gid HaNoshe is in both Eretz Yisrael and the Chutz La'aretz, B'fnei HaBayis, Shalom B'fnei HaBayis, whether we have a Beis HaMikdash, and even when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, B'chulin Uv Mugdashin, both in regular animals that you want to shecht for your Shabbos, Chalon, or backyard barbecue, or a carbon. Now, V'noig B'Behema U'Bechaya, the Isser is with a behema that's a domesticated animal, such as a cow or a sheep, and a chayo, which is a non-domesticated animal, such as a deer, and biyarech shel yamin ubiyarech shel smol. It's with this gid, with this sinew, that's in both the right leg and in the left leg. Ve'enoy noig ba'ayv, however, it's not with a bird, because it doesn't have a kaf. As we said, kaf ayarech means the spoon of the thigh, and a bird's thigh bone is not shaped like that, it's not spoon-shaped, and therefore, there's no isser gid hanoshe in birds. Now, ve'noig ba'shlil, it does apply to a shlil, and this goes back to what we've discussed previously, that if a mother animal is shechted and they find inside its womb a baby animal which was fully developed, it was 9 months old, and it was alive, according to Rav Meir, it still requires shechita, we have to shecht it, and therefore this Isra of Gid HaNoshe applies to the shlil. However, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, he says, Ein Neig B'Shlil, it does not apply to the shlil, to the fetus, but we don't pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, another din says, Mishnah Mechel by Mutter, it's chelev, it's fats are mutter. Does Machlik is what this is referring to. According to some, it's referring to the chelev of the shlil. According to others, it's referring to the chelev around the Gid HaNoshe. In other words, the fats that are around the Gid itself, those are allowed to be eaten according to strict halacha. The minigam is not to eat it, but again, according to strict halacha, one is allowed to eat them. Now here we have machlekes. Meir says that butchers are not trusted regarding the Gid HaNoshe. This is something called nikur, that there's an ability to cut out the Gid HaNoshe from the back part of the cow, and then technically the rest of the meat is permitted. But Rav Meir says the butchers are not trusted to do it because it's very difficult to get it out. It takes a lot of time. A lot of the gid is embedded deeply into the meat, and it's challenging to cut out this sinew. And therefore, if a butcher says, this meat is from the back part of the cow, don't worry, I cut out the gid HaNoshe. Rav Meir says, you can't trust him. He's trusted regarding the gid HaNoshe and regarding the chelev as well. What's the chelev? So we just translated previously, chelev means fat, and this is specifically regarding certain fats, that when we have the Beis HaMikdash, those fats were brought on the Mizbeach, they were burned, and even when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, those fats are usher to eat. Obviously, they're not brought in the Mizbeach because we don't have one, but they're still usher to eat, and they're a very high-level isser, they're chi of kares. And still, nonetheless, the Chachamim say, we can trust the butcher to say, don't worry, I cut out all those chalavim, all those fats, and therefore this piece of meat is able to be eaten. Moving on to Mishnah Gimel, Shelech Adam Yarech L'Nachri Shegid HaNoshe B'Soicha, a person can send the thigh of the animal to a non-Jew, even though the Gid HaNoshe is still inside. Why is this? M'nei Shemakam Yenikar, because its place is recognizable. What's the chiddush over here? Let's say Reuven has a non-Jewish friend, Chris, and he wants to send him the whole back part of the cow. Reuven's not interested in trying to cut out the Gid HaNoshe and getting to all the complications, so he just simply takes the back part of the cow that has a Gid HaNoshe in it and sends it to his friend, Chris, as a gift. Now, Reuven's friend, Shimon, who's obviously a Yid, sees this and says, hey, I can get a whole piece of meat for pretty cheap. So he goes over to Chris's house, knocks on the door and says, hey, Chris, I saw that Reuven just sent you a piece of meat. Can I buy it from you? He knows for sure it's kosher, so he doesn't have to worry about that. The Mishnah is telling us that we do not have a chashash that Shimon is going to think that Reuven took out the Gid HaNoshe before he sent it to Chris, and now Shimon's going to end up eating the Gid HaNoshe, which is obviously a big problem. No, why is that? The Mishnah said, it's place recognizable. You can very clearly tell that the Gid HaNoshe is still here in this piece of meat, and so therefore wouldn't have to be afraid for this whole thing. Now the Mishnah continues, Hanotel Gid HaNoshe, one that does cut out the Gid HaNoshe from the meat, from the thigh, Tzar Shitel Skulai, he has to cut out the entire Gid, whereas Rabbi Yehuda Amir, he says that no, Kedei L'Kayim by Mitzvah Netila, he just has to cut out enough to be Makayim, cutting it out, and that's only the part which is on the surface of the meat, because as we mentioned previously, there are parts of this Gira Noshe which are deeply embedded, they're set really deeply into the meat, and they're very difficult to get out. Rabbi Yehuda holds, you don't have to cut out the entire Gid, you just have to cut out the upper part, which is more on the surface of the meat, and that's sufficient. And we can discuss this from Gira Noshe. Mishnah Gimel says, if a person eats a kezayis of the Gira Noshe, he gets 40 malkas. He was over a lav. Now, let's say he ate the entire Gid Hanoshe, but it happened to be very small, and the whole thing together wasn't even a kezayis. Chayiv, he's still chayiv malkas. Why is that? Because there's a concept called beria. It's a whole thing. For example, imagine you find an ant crawling on the floor. It's a tiny little eensy weensy ant, and you pick it up and you eat it. So besides the fact that that's really gross, you're over many lavim. Now, you might say, what do you mean it's not a kezayis? We know that you always have to eat a kezayis. That's the regular shear. That's the regular amount of food that you're chayiv regarding eating. And the answer is that no, it's called a beria. It's a whole creature, it's a whole thing, and therefore it's totally different. And it's the same thing. Here, when he eats the entire Gid HaNoshe, even though it wasn't a kezayis, he's still going to be chayiv malkus. On something similar, Ochel mizeh kezayis mizeh kezayis, let's say he ate a kezayis out of the right Gid HaNoshe and the left Gid HaNoshe, meaning from the right thigh and the left thigh, Sevig Shmainim, he gets two sets of malkus, that's 80. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he says, Enu Sevig El Arabayim, he only gets 40. And that's because he holds that the Isser of Gid HaNoshe is only with the right thigh, not the left one. And after Mishnah Dalet, with some troubleshooting issues, Yarchan is Bashal Ba Gid HaNoshe, the thigh of the animal that was cooked and the Gid HaNoshe was still there. Well, this is a problem. In a way, it's kind of like cooking meat and milk together, or treif meat with kosher meat. So what do we do? And here we have a classic thing with kashrus. Im yesh ba benoise in tam, harezu asura. If there was enough Gid HaNoshe here that it would impart flavor, that's noise in tam, it would give flavor to the rest of the meat, so then harezu asura, it's asur, because that means that all the other meat, which is technically okay, received asur flavor from the Gid HaNoshe. Now the question just is, Ketzin Masharin I saw, how do we evaluate it? How do we tell if the Gid HaNoshe was able to impart its flavor? And the answer is, kibasar bilafes, similar to meat being cooked in turnip. We pretend that the thigh itself is turnip and that the gid is meat. And if we had this same proportion of meat and turnip and the meat would give flavor to the turnips, that's basically the gid giving flavor to the yarech, to the thigh, so then it'd be aser. If not, then it's okay. And we keep discussing the Gid HaNoshe. Here, this is really a follow-up of the previous Mishnah, which had started talking about, let's say the Gid HaNoshe was cooked with something permitted, what do we do? So the Mishnah tells us now, Gid HaNoshe shen zbashel im hagidin. We have the Gid HaNoshe, which is an aser gid, which was cooked with other gidim that were mutter. What's the din here? So bismanchem akiroi, if it's a situation where he recognizes it, he knows that this one right here is a Gid HaNoshe. So then benoise in tam, it all depends whether or not it imparted flavor. Why? Because he removes the iser. He takes out the Gid HaNoshe, throws it away, gets rid of it. So now we don't have the physical iser here. The only question is, do we have the flavor of the iser? Okay, that's one discussion. Now vim lav, if not, if he doesn't know where the Gid HaNoshe is, kulan asurin, everything here is asur, because every gid he's going to pick up is a suffix. Wait, maybe this is the Gid HaNoshe, or maybe the next one's a Gid HaNoshe, so everything's asur. And v'horaitev, what about the juice? What about all the gravy? Not the actual gidim, but whatever juice or gravy or broth is there in this dish. So here as well, benois and tam, it all depends whether or not the gid actually imparted its flavor to them, and if you would be able to taste the flavor of that gid. And v'chein, similarly, chaticha shal nevela, a piece of nevela meat, v'chein chaticha shal dog tamei, a piece of non-kosher fish, shenizbash lo'im ha-chatichas, they were cooked with other pieces of kosher meat or kosher fish. It's the same discussion. Bizman shema kiron, if he recognizes which one is the usher one, so he takes that out and throws it away, and then benois and tam, we just see if that usher one was able to impart its flavor to the mutter ones. If it did, so then they're usher. If it didn't, so then they're mutter. Vim lav, if not, if it's not recognizable, if he doesn't know which one is the nevela or the non-kosher fish, so kulan asuras, all of them are usher, all the different pieces can't be eaten because each one might be the nevela or might be the non-kosher fish. And v'horaitev, what about the juice or the gravy, whatever else is in the dish that's not an actual piece of meat or fish, benois and tam, that also has to be determined whether or not there was enough of the iser here to impart its flavor, and so then it's asur, and if not, it's mutter. Moving on to Mishnah Vav, going back to discuss Gid HaNoshe in particular, noyheg b'tahira ve'enoy noyheg b'tameya. This of Gid HaNoshe is only with kosher animals and not with non-kosher animals. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he says, af b'tameya, even with non-kosher animals. That means, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if a person eats the Gid HaNoshe of a non-kosher animal, he's going to get malkus for eating Gid HaNoshe. Besides for the fact that he ate treif, he ate a non-kosher animal, he's going to get a set of malkus specifically for eating Gid HaNoshe. Now, Rabbi Yehuda explains his shita. Why is this? Because v'aloyim b'nei Yaakov nesar Gid HaNoshe. Gid HaNoshe was asur from the b'nei Yaakov. Because remember, we said at the beginning of the parak, why is there an isur of Gid HaNoshe? Due to the fact that Yaakov was fighting with the Malchav Esav and he hit him on the Kaf HaYarech, which is where the Gid HaNoshe is. So that's where the isur comes from. And at this point in time, v'adayin b'hem ha'tameyim uteres lahen, they were still allowed to eat non-kosher animals, which if you think about it is interesting, but it's true that the Bnei Yaakov, since they did not have Matan Torah yet, they were actually allowed to eat non-kosher animals. And that means, says Rabbi Yehuda, that the Isra of Gid Anoshe is on non-kosher animals. However, Amrullah the Chum told him, B'Sinai Nemar, the Isra of eating Gid Anoshe was only said at Har Sinai at Kabbalah HaTorah. El Shenechta B'Mkaimai, it's written in its place. In other words, you're right. When you read Chumash and you learn the whole story of Yaakov fighting with the Malach of Esav, over there, that's where it mentions the Isra of Gid Anoshe. But that's just because it's due to that whole story that we have this Isra. But that's not when the Isra actually took effect. It was only told to the Yidin by Har Sinai. It's just when Moshe Rabbeinu was writing the Torah down, he wrote the Isra of Gid Anoshe regarding the relevant story of how it came about. But again, the whole Isra only started at Har Sinai, and at Har Sinai, it was only mutter to eat kosher animals, and therefore Gid Anoshe is not on non-kosher animals, and that's how we paskin. We do not hold like Rabbi Yehuda. And in this parak, for the most part, we're going to be discussing basar b'chalav, meat and milk. Now, we know this Isra comes from when the pasuk says, don't cook a goat in its mother's milk. And it says this three times, and so we learn from there that there's three surim: no cooking meat and milk, no benefiting from meat and milk, and no eating meat and milk that was cooked together. And here we're going to be discussing all the different details. So the Mishnah tells us, kol basar asur lavasha b'chalav. All types of meat are asur to cook with milk, chutz mibasar dagim v'chagavim, except for meat, meaning the flesh of fish or chagavim, which is grasshoppers. That's because they're not considered meat. And also, v'asur l'aloyse magvina l'sholchan, is asur to even bring meat up on the same table as cheese, chutz mibasar dagim v'chagavim, except for the flesh or the meat of fish and grasshoppers. That's because it's not considered meat. The reason why you're not allowed to have meat and cheese on the same table is because we're afraid that one's going to eat them together. If a person makes a neder, I am not benefiting from meat at all, he's allowed to have meat of dogim and chagavim because it's not considered meat. Now, what about fowl, birds, such as chicken? Is that included in meat? So here we have machlokes. Beishamai says that oif, bird, fowl, is allowed to be brought on the same table as cheese. It's just not to be eaten together. Whereas Beis Hillel says, loy oile v'loy nechal, no bringing it up and obviously no eating it together. Now, Rabbi Yossi says, zumi kula beishamai mechorim Beis Hillel. This is one of the kulas, the leniencies of Beis Shammai and the chomers of Beis Hillel. We usually see it or the opposite way. Beis Shammai is usually the one who's machmir and Beis Hillel is mekel, and here's one of the situations that it's not like that. It says the Mishnah Be'ezah Shulchan Amru, which table are we talking about? B'shulchan she'oichel alav, that's the table that people are eating at. That's what we would call the dining room table or the kitchen table. When you're sitting for a meal, no bringing these two things up on the same table. Aval b'shulchan she'soidr alav is a tavshil, but the table that the dishes are just being arranged on, that might be a small table of sorts on wheels that's wheeled around. It might be some other table that's just used for organizing the food. So nice and episode 7, this could be placed next to that, and we don't have to suspect that a person is going to eat from them, because that's not where we eat from anyway. We eat from the eating table, not from the arranging table. And moving on to Mishnah Beis. Sar adam basar gvinim mitpachas achas. A person could wrap up meat and cheese in the same mitpachas, in the same kerchief, as long as they don't touch each other. If they do end up touching each other, so he has to wash off the spot that was touching, but simply wrapping them up in the same kerchief is not a problem. We're not to be afraid he's going to eat them together. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel, where he says, two guests could eat at the same table, this one meat and this one cheese, and there's nothing to worry about, because the keyword over here is guests. They don't know each other. They're both staying at the same random hotel or motel. They have their own food. They just need to find a place to sit, so they happen to be at the same table. They're not going to be sharing food with each other. They're not going to be taking from each other, and so there's no problem. We're not afraid that there's going to be some basar b'chalav problems going on here. And the Mishnah tells us, tibas chalav shenafla al chaticha. We have a drop of milk that fell on a piece of meat that was in a pot. It was cooking. Does it become asar or not? So it depends. I've had this in previous prakim. It's the same general concept. Im yesh ba benois in tam ba'os chaticha asar. If the amount of milk that fell onto the meat is benois in tam, it could impart its flavor. It's enough that you will be able to taste the milk inside this meat in that piece. So then it's asar. Now let's say niras hakadera, he stirred the pot, which means that before the milk was really able to get absorbed into that piece of meat that it fell onto, he stirred the pot, and so now the milk was mixed into the entire pot, not just into one piece of meat. So yesh ba benois in tam ba'os chaticha. Usr. If it's enough, they can impart flavor to the entire pot, so then it's usr. If not, then not. Now moving on to something different. Hakachal. What about the udder of the animal? Now the udder is interesting because it's actually a piece of meat. However, it has milk in it. That's where the milk of the cow comes from the udder. So how does one eat it? It seems like it's milk and meat together if he'd be cooking it. So here the Mishnah tells us, Kairai umaitzis chalavai. He tears it, which means he cuts it, shsiva erev, crisscross, and he takes out the milk. The way he does that is by squeezing it, and that pulls out a lot of the milk, and then he could cook it no problem. If there is some milk left inside, it's not considered basar b'chalav, it's not a problem. Now, loy kira'oi, if he didn't tear it and he cooked it, ain't over olav. He's not over cooking meat and milk, and actually, not only is he not oiver, but he's allowed to do this and he could eat it. Not something similar, just not with basar b'chalav. Halev, the heart of the animal, if he'd like to eat it, kairu maitzis damai, he has to tear it open, again, which means cut it in a crisscross fashion and squeeze out the blood. And over here also, like roi, if he didn't end up tearing it, ainu oiver alav, he's not oiver. However, with the heart, it's different. If he didn't tear it after he cooked it, so then he will be oiver if he eats it. Now going back to basar b'chalav, hamala so'ifim ha'gvin al shulchan, if a person did bring chicken and cheese on the same table, and remember, oif is not specifically chicken, it just means any sort of bird meat. So he had fowl, bird, brought with cheese on the same table, ainu oiver b'leisase, he's not oiver loisase, even though l'chatchil he's not allowed to, he's still not oiver anything. Moving on to Mishnah Dalet, we have more details. Besar behema tahira, b'chalev behema tahira, meat from a kosher animal with milk of a kosher animal, such as cow milk, asr levashel, it's asr to cook them together, v'asr ba'na, and it's asr to benefit from them if they were cooked together. Now, besar behema tahira, b'chalev behema tamea, meat from a kosher animal with milk of a non-kosher animal, or besar behema tamea, b'chalev behema tahira, meat from a non-kosher animal with milk from a kosher animal, mutar levashel u'mutar ba'na, it's mutar to cook together, and it's mutar to benefit from. Let's say he wants to sell it to a non-Jew, he's allowed to do that, no problem. Or let's say he's a chef and he's making some sort of meat and milk dish, he could get paid for that. It's not a problem because it's not kosher. The iser is only with kosher meat and kosher milk. Now we're going to have a machlokes. Rabbi Kiva says, Chaya v'oif eina min ha-toira. The iser of basar b'chalav with chaya, which as we know is a non-domesticated animal, a wild animal, such as a deer, or oif, which is bird, fowl, such as chicken or duck or goose or something like that. That iser is not midai raisa. And how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, Lo sevash gadiba chalevi mai, don't cook a goat in its mother's milk. Shalish pa'amim, it says this three times. Prat l'chayu l'oif of l'behema t'meya. That's excluding chaya, oif, and non-kosher animal. Now Rabbi Yosef Glili Amr, he says that no. Namar, the pasuk says, Lo se'echel kol nevela. Don't eat nevela, which means don't eat an animal which wasn't shechted properly. V'namar, and also says, Lo sevash gadiba chalevi mai, don't cook a goat in its mother's milk. And what do we learn from here? Esha asr mishum nevela, asr levash b'chalav. That which is asr kazim nevela is asr to cook in milk. And we know that a chaya, wild animal, non-domesticated animal, is asr kazim nevela. If you have a deer, you have to shecht it before eating it, and therefore it's asr to cook that meat in milk. However, oif, regarding a bird, sh'asr mishum nevela, that is asr kazim nevela. You have to shecht the bird properly before eating it. Yachol yehi asr levash b'chalav. You might think that there's an isr de'oiraisa to cook it in milk. Talmud loimer b'chalev imai. That's what we learn from the pasuk that tells us in its mother's milk. Yatsa oif, that excludes birds, she'ein le'chalev im. There's no mother's milk. Birds don't produce milk, and therefore there's no isr de'oiraisa to cook bird meat in milk. However, there is an isr de'oiraisa to cook chaya meat, wild animal or non-domesticated animal meat and milk, and that's where Rabbi Yosef Glili argues with Rabbi Kiva. Now we're discussing cheese making for a little bit. A special enzyme is needed to curdle milk into cheese, and this was often taken from the stomach of a young animal. Now both the stomach and the enzyme, which is called rennet, R-E-N-N-E-T, are known as keva in the Lashon of Mishnah and Gemara. So the Mishnah tells us, kevas nachri v'shal nevela, the keva of a non-Jew and of nevela, which is really the same thing the Farshim explained. We're talking about the keva, which is the enzyme that came from an animal of a non-Jew, which is nevela. Harezo asura, it's usur. You can't use it for cheese making because it came from a nevela animal. Now, what about the following? Hamamid ba'arshal kevik shera. A person was mamid, which means he curdled milk inside the skin of a keva of a kosher animal. So he actually took the stomach or the skin of the stomach of the kosher animal, put milk into it, and that drew the enzyme from the stomach, curdling the milk, beginning the cheese making process. So technically, there's no issue here because everything is kosher. However, there is one more problem. Im yesh benaisin tam harezo asura. If the stomach of the animal itself, the skin itself, was enough to impart flavor to the milk or to the cheese, then it's usur. The cheese, just in the way that it was made, doesn't have a problem because everything was kosher here. The only issue is that the stomach or the skin of the stomach is considered meat, and therefore if that meat or that skin imparted flavor to the milk or to the cheese, then it'd be usur because of that. Another din, ksheira shiyanka min ha-trefa keva sa-asura. You have a kosher animal that nursed from a trefa, so its keva is usur. And that's because even though the animal itself is kosher, the milk that's inside the stomach, which becomes this enzyme that helps the cheese making process, so that's problematic because that came from treif milk and therefore it's usur. Whereas treifa shiyanka min ha-ksheira, a treifa that nursed from ksheira kevas muteres, that's kevas mutter because just gathered in its stomach. It's not part of the actual animal. You're right, the animal that we're taking the keva from is a treifa, is problematic, but this enzyme itself is not really part of the animal. It's just called konus b'me'a. It's gathered in its stomach, gathered in the insides, but not part of it, and therefore it's actually mutter to use. Moving on to Mishnah Vav, now we discuss two other parts parts of an animal that are usur. And we mentioned one of them previously. That's the chelev. Chelev is forbidden fats of an animal. In the times when we had a Beis HaMikdash and brought karbanos, so those fats were put on the Mizbeach. And even when we do not have a Beis HaMikdash, those fats are still usur. And if a person eats them, he's chayv kares. If he eats them by mistake, he was a shoygig, so he'd be chayv a karban chatos. And the other one is blood. Blood is also usur to eat. If one eats them amazing, he's chayv kares. If he does a b'shoygig, he's also chayv a karban. So here the Mishnah says, chomer b'chelev mi badam, v'chomer badam mi b'chelev. There's a chomer, there's a stringency that we find by chelev over blood, and we find the stringency by blood over chelev. Chomer b'chelev, what's the chomer, the stringency that we find by chelev? Sh'chelev ma'alin bay, that one could be over me'ila with chelev. We know that being over me'ila is when a person benefits from hektish. So if this chelev was from an animal that was hektish, and a person benefited from it, he used it for his own personal needs, he would be over me'ila, even though anyway these chalavim are asur, still he's over me'ila. And also, he's chayv because of pigol, nicer, and tamei. These are all things relating to a carbon. We learned about them in Maseches Zvachim and Menachos. Pigol is when a carbon is processed with a machshava, with a thought, that part of it is going to be chutz l'zmanoi, beyond its proper time. And if one eats from its meat, he's going to be chayv kares. Nicer is when a carbon is left past the time it's allowed to be eaten. Most carbons are only allowed to be eaten for a day and a night. And so any meat that's left over beyond that night is considered nicer. And tamei is referring to iser, that when a person who he himself is tamei, he's not allowed to eat kadshim meat. So with all these things, if a person ended up eating chelev, those from an animal that was pigol, or that it was nicer, or that he himself was tameh, he's going to be chayv a carbon for that. Again, besides the fact that he ate chelev, he's going to be chayv another carbon for eating it because of pigol, nicer, or tameh. Masha enkim adam, this doesn't apply to blood. If he benefits from blood of an animal, he's not over me'ila, and he's not going to be chayv for pigol, nicer, or tameh. On to the next thing, v'chomer badam, the chomer that we find by dam is that shahadam noig bebehem of chayv a'if, the isra of eating blood is both by animal blood, wild animal blood, and bird, bain tameh and bain taharim, whether it's not kosher or kosher. Now in this part, for the most part, we're going to be discussing tuma of food called tumas eichlin. And there's two different main categories. One is called tumas nevela. We've had this previously. This is when an animal dies without being shechted properly. Has a very high level of tuma. Not only bimaga, that if one touches it or if it touches something else, it's going to be metame that thing. Also bimasa, if this piece of nevela is simply carried, even though it's not being touched. For example, it's put on a plate and the plate's being carried. It also imparts its tuma like that. Now there's also something called tumas eichlin. So we can have the same piece of meat. It's not nevela. Let's say it's a kosher piece of meat. It still could become tamei from something else that touches it and might also be able to transfer that tuma to something else. And over here, it depends. In order for food to become tamei, it could even be a kol shehu, even just the tiniest amount. However, in order for it to be able to be mitamei, to transfer its tuma to something else, so then it has to be minimum kibetza, the size of an egg. And then when we get involved in this discussion, the question is, does it have to be just one beitza's worth of pure food, or could there be other things added on? For example, let's say you have a bone that has meat on it. Is that bone considered part of the shear? And even though there isn't a full beitza's worth of meat, still together with the bone and the meat, there's a beitza, and then it could transfer tuma? Maybe yes, maybe no. That's part of the discussion. As for the Mishnah tells a few rules. Ha'ar, the skin or the hide, which is connected to meat. V'haroitev, and the gravy, the juice that comes out of meat that's cooking. V'akipa, and the different spices in the pot. V'ha'alol, and the sinew of the neck and spine of the animal. V'hatsamais, and the bones. V'hagidin, and other sinews, bakarnaim and horns, batlafaim and hooves, mitstarfin, all these are mitstarif. They join in together with meat, with regular food, latame tomas eichlin, in order to be metame tomas eichlin. In other words, all these things we just mentioned, even though they're not edible themselves. For example, piece of skin of the cow, which is attached to a piece of meat of the cow, even though the skin's not edible, nonetheless, together they're mitstarif for the shear of a beitza, and therefore they would be able to transfer tuma to something else. That's what it means, latame tomas eichlin. It can be metame other foods because it has the shear. Avoloi tomas nevelis, but not the tome of nevela. So for example, if we have an animal that wasn't shechted properly and a very small piece of meat was cut out of it, and we only have the proper shear together with the meat and the hide, the skin, it's not counted and it's not metame tomas nevela. K'yaitse by similarly says the Mishnah, ha-sheikha behemet mele nachri, if a person shechs a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew, u'mefarcheses, it's still alive, but it's mefarcheses, it's thrashing about, so metame tomas eichlin, it could be metame tomas eichlin. That's because in regards to being officially considered food, it's considered food, even though the animal still thrashing about, avoloi tomas nevelas, achetomos. But it doesn't have the tomah of nevela until it actually dies. Oy achiatzes raisha, or alternatively, it has to have its head chopped off right away, and then even if it is thrashing about, it's considered dead. Here we have a little bit of a summary. Ribal tamay tomas eichlin, mimash ribal tamay tomas nevelas. There's more situations where something could be mitamay tomas eichlin than tomas nevelas, as we just saw in the beginning of the Mishnah. Now we have one more. Then Rabbi Huda says, ha'al hamachunis, all over here is referring to small pieces of meat that are left attached to the hide or the skin of the animal. So if all those were scraped off and gathered together, if there's a kezias of those one place, chayv olav, one would be chayv for tumas nevela, even though it's all these little individual pieces of meat, now that they're all gathered in one place, it's a kezias and it's edel mitame tumas nevela. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Beis, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.